We're going to look at weakness. Before I begin, there's a couple of different forms of weakness that we face as Christians. One is a weakness that would cause us to sin and fall away from God. And the other weakness we're going to look at is a weakness that keeps us from doing what God would have us to do. Benevolent work and so forth and things of that nature. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 41. It says, "Watch and pray that enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In James 1, verse number 14 and 15, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." We can look through scripture. We can find a lot of different words that would pertain to our weaknesses. We see words such as the lust of the flesh. The previous verse talks about being tempted. And we look at these things and we know that they're all something there that can draw us away from God and keep us from doing His commandments. And we need to realize these weaknesses that we have as Christians, and we need to be able to find them and try to correct them if we can. Try to push these things out of our lives. And a lot of times these things, these weaknesses, we'll never be able to get rid of. And that's something that I want you to realize this afternoon. Some of these weaknesses we're going to deal with for the rest of our lives. But I believe that they all have their purpose. But God knows our weakness. The devil knows our weakness. So it might be a very good idea if we know our weakness and know where we fall short and where we need to grow as Christians, where we need to guard ourselves from. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 and 11, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I've always looked at this verse and I've always thought about learning scripture, being able to guard myself against things of this earth, things that would make me stumble as a Christian. And until I put this lesson together, for some reason it didn't click, but this verse is fair warning that me as a Christian, I am fair game, and I am going to be tried and I am going to be tested. And my weaknesses more than likely are going to be that test. These are the areas that where I as a Christian am going to be tested. This verse gives us fair warning that we need to be prepared in the areas that we are weak, and we need to guard ourselves against them. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5 says, "Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Paul says, beginning to examine ourselves. We're commanded on the first day of week to gather together and partake of the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine, and the unleavened bread. We're also commanded to examine ourselves on a weekly basis. And I think this is a big reason, a main reason that we need to do such things, because that self-examination is very important as Christians for us to be able to stand as Christians. We have to start, that self-examination has to start with us. Everybody else knows your weakness. Those who are going to tempt you, the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quiet you like men, be strong." I had to look up this, "quit you like men." Got my Strong's out and it says to act manly. Now this made me laugh because I had a drill sergeant that would always tell us to act manly. Quit being little weaklings and act like a man. And usually he would tell us this after we'd been doing push-up for a very long time and you just could not do them anymore. He'd say, "Start acting like a man." You know, looking at this and it got me to thinking about Pop's lesson this morning. You have Peter and John and the Sadducees there. And in Acts chapter 4, verse number 13, it says they saw boldness in Peter and John. What do you think that boldness was? To me, they were acting manly. They were standing up, stood fast for what they believed in. We need to know for a fact what the scripture says. We need to stand fast and act like a man and take these trials and tribulations that we are faced with, our weaknesses that we have, and we need to confront them head on. An example that I want to present you with, let's say you have the weakness of not handling confrontation very well. You know, whenever somebody gets in your face and says something, you're like, "Well, you know, okay, yeah, you're kind of very, I mean, we're taking being humble and humility to an extreme here." I mean, so they just, you know, they're not, it hurts them. It hurts them to be confronted and to have somebody disagree with them. Now, not too long ago, there was other congregations that said okay to homosexuality. How do you think that ever became? I mean, we have scripture that tells us that it's a sin, and don't we not? So somewhere along the way, somebody had to fall. Somebody said, "Well, yeah, I understand you've been worshiping with us for a very long time, and we understand that you're a homosexual, but, you know, somewhere it became okay." And then somewhere it became okay for them to get up in front of the pulpit and preach to other people and say that it is okay. I don't know how you feel about women preaching, but we have scripture that tells us that women are supposed to keep silent in the church. Somewhere, somebody had a weakness of confrontation or a weakness that they didn't like to study the scripture, and they said, "Well, you know, okay, you can, if you have something you need to say, you can say it." I presume that where it first happened, the lady's husband was not there. Maybe she did not have a husband. This is just my own rationalization, if you would, to how this came about. And next thing you know, we have women speaking. Now we can go on and on, and I can stand up here and I can talk about it all day long, about where our weaknesses have caused us to stumble as Christians. Why can't we just stand bold in the faith and address these weaknesses as they come about and stand up for what the scripture says and use it to guide us like we're supposed to? James 5 and 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much." Confess your faults one to another. You think this would have been a good idea whenever these people of the world started confronting Christians? Let's say Brother Britt and I have different weaknesses, and somebody goes to Brother Britt and they start poking at him, pushing his buttons. I have two sisters, all of you know that. they like to push my buttons. And I think they do that because I push right back, and it can get kind of comical sometimes. But let's say somebody's pushing Brother Britt's buttons, okay? And I'm over here, and I can stand to have my buttons pushed, and me and Brother Britt together can take that person, we'll say it's Brother Josh, and we can stand up boldly in his face and say, this is not going to happen. Together, we as Christians, standing for one another, can say, this is not going to happen. We're not weak when we stand together. As we have weaknesses as Christians, you know, we can face them on our own. It is, you can do that. I've done it for a very long time. Or we can tell another Christian about our weakness, and we can say, I need you to pray for me. I need you to be there for me whenever I am weak. I have a wonderful wife, and she stands beside me whenever I'm the weakest. And I think we need that, and to utilize that as Christians, to lean on one another. Hebrews 3, verse number 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another to continue the fight. You know, it's easy to get pulled down. You know, I've been pulled down to where it just doesn't feel like I just go anymore. It's encouraging to have somebody with you, someone by your side, to say, you know, keep going. This world is a test for us as Christians. The life that you live here on this earth and the weaknesses that you face are trials, in my opinion. They're trials. This is what your faith is going to be tested. Your weaknesses are going to be poked and prodded at. It's how our faith is judged. It's very encouraging to have somebody that goes through the same thing that you're going through. It makes the suffering so much easier. Whenever I served in the military, we'd go out and we'd go into we'd have a field problem every 6 months, and it usually lasts for 30 days, 29 days. At 30 days, they would pay you separation pay, and they always brought you back to the post right before that 30 days would hit. But within 29 days, you didn't sleep very much. You were sleep deprived. You about slept for 3 days straight whenever you got home. You were sleep deprived. You were dirty. When I say dirty, that's 29 days without taking a shower. I mean, you were nasty. You stunk, and it was awful. And you're mentally wore down, because they would throw we had a major that was a military genius as far as strategy goes, and he'd just throw out just all different types of scenarios. And you would walk in that, within that amount of 30 days, you would probably walk somewhere between 40 to 50 miles with your pack on. So you just mentally wore down. Alone, I would quit. Just couldn't do it by myself. But I had somebody there with me. I had guys on my right and left that we were all counting on one another. And they were going through the exact same thing I was, and we would encourage each other to keep going. To the point where whenever you didn't think you could go any further, they would pick you up, get you in their arm, and you would keep walking. As Christians, we need that. We need somebody there to say, you're not going to quit. You're not going to give in to this temptation. Whatever your weakness may be, man up and continue on. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. I think that's probably one of the biggest jobs as a Christians to our fellow brethren in Christ, is to bear their infirmities. First Thessalonians 5 and verse number 14, it says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." This isn't something that, for me, that has ever gone away. I mean, my weaknesses have stayed with me from at least the past 5 years, whenever I've acknowledged what one of them was and have tried to work on it. And I don't know if it ever will leave me. See, one of my weaknesses is judging. I have a tendency to judge people. At first, my judgment was with the people that I knew, the friends that I had. And I would judge them, and I said, do I need to spend my time with them? Are they making me a better Christian? And most of the time, the answer was no. And so that caused me to separate myself from them. And then a little bit of time went on, and I realized that how can I let Christ's light shine through me if I'm not even around them? Because my light was, you know, shining around a bunch of other light. It never was sent out into the darkness to shine where it needed to shine. And so I slowly overcame that. And then the next weakness I had was still with judgment, was with helping other people. You know, and before, you know, I'd see a homeless person, and I was like, you know, they could probably need some money because their clothes are just, you know, you can tell. You know what a homeless person looks like. They just look dirty. They look like they don't have anything. And then automatically I judge them and I say, well, what are they doing to help themselves? Am I just going to give them money and they can just, you know, not use it for what they need to and spend it on booze, spend it on drugs? That's usually how my mind works, is they're going to take what I give them without ever even trying to earn money themselves and go spend it on something that they really don't need. So one of the weaknesses that I've had is judging, and I still like to judge. Look at everybody out there in the audience. I'm judging you right now. We judge the men, they're going to be our deacons. Yes, been judging y'all. We pass judgment, at least I do. That's one of my weaknesses. The weakness that I have is that where I need to be as a Christian is I need to be in a place to where I can say, you know, what I have is not mine. It's God's. And I definitely have plenty, so here you go. I mean, it serves me no purpose. I have enough stuff in my life, and I'm always going to have too much stuff. So what does it hurt to just give it all away? It's not mine. I can't take any of it with me whenever I leave. So why do I even take the time to judge somebody whenever I'm giving away something that I don't even deserve myself? But luckily I have my wife to help me with my judgment problems, and a weakness that I will continue to face as a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6 to 7 says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, indeed, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, through it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." This is where I think that some weaknesses we may never get over as Christians. Our faith will be tried. And I think part of those trials will be with what we are the weakest with. Brother Britt, again, for picking on purposes. If Brother Britt and I got into an argument and I wanted to beat him up, I wouldn't do it right now while he's good and healthy. I'd wait until he had the flu or something. That way you could just walk up behind him and thump him and he'd just fall down and that would be it. Let's just make it easy. Why don't we? The devil knows your weakness. What do you think he's going to use? If he's going to try to get you to fall and not be a Christian anymore, what is he going to use? Well, he's going to use your weak spot. You know, military strategy, where do you hit your enemy? The weak spot. Your weakness? is where you're going to fall. The lesson is yours this afternoon. I hope I've said something that's been beneficial to you. Weaknesses. I wish you the best of luck with them. If you know somebody that has a weakness, I encourage you to help them if you can. You know, we have an eternity. We know that. Heaven or hell. And it will last forever. I encourage you to pull along a brother and sister in Christ that's weaker than you are. And if you do have a weakness, I encourage you to get another fellow brother and sister in Christ and pull along and have them pull you along.